The family of David. 1 Chronicles 3. Now these were the sons of David who were born to him in Hebron. The firstborn was Amnon by Ahinoam the Jezreelitess. The second was Daniel by Abigail the Carmelitess. The third was Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. The fourth was Adonijah, the son of Haggith. The fifth was Shephatiah by Abital. The sixth was Ithream by his wife Eglah. Six were born to him in Hebron, and there he reigned 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years. And these were born to him in Jerusalem, Shemaiah, Shobab, Nathan, and Solomon. Four by Bathsheba, the daughter of Amiel, and Ibhar, Elishama, Eliphelet, Noga, Nepheg, Japhia, Elishama, Eliada, and Eliphelet, nine. All these were the sons of David, besides the sons of the concubines, and Tamar was their sister. Now Solomon's son was Rehoboam, Abijah was his son, Asa his son, Jehoshaphat his son, Joram his son, Ahaziah his son, Joash his son, Amaziah's son, Azariah's son, Jotham his son, Ahaz's son, Hezekiah's son, Manasseh his son, Amon his son, Josiah his son. And the sons of Josiah were Johanan, the firstborn, and the second was Jehoiakim, the third Zedekiah, the fourth Shalom. And his sons of Jehoiakim were Jeconiah his son, Zedekiah his son. The sons of Jeconiah the prisoner were Shealtiel his son, and Malkiram, Pediah, Shenazar, Jechemiah, Hoshama, and Nebadiah. And the sons of Pediah were Zerubbabel and Shimei. The sons of Zerubbabel were Meshullam and Hananiah. And Shelomith was their sister. And Hashabah, Ohel, Berechiah, Hasadiah, and Jushab Hesed, five. And the sons of Hananiah were Pelatiah, Jeshiah, the sons of Rephaiah, the sons of Arnon, the sons of Obadiah, the sons of Shechaniah. And the son of Shechaniah was Shemaiah. The sons of Shemaiah were Hattush, Igal, Bariah, Neriah, and Shaphat, six. The sons of Neriah were Elioni, Hizkiah, and Izrakam, three. And the sons of Elioni were Hodaviah, Eliashib, Peliah, Akub, Johanan, Deliah, and Anani, seven. Amen. Okay. So remember yesterday I told you that we're going to go through a lot of these genealogies in the beginning because Ezra has a very particular point. He wants to preserve not only the royal line, but the priestly line. And he wants Israel to go back to really more than anything else, the time of Moses in that regard. So now, yesterday, we dealt with the sons of Jacob, Israel, and now we're elaborating something that actually started in the chapter 2, verse 12 and on, dealing with the family of David. And because primarily Ezra is under inspiration, and he chooses particular people because he wants to highlight them, which eventually leads to Christ. And so we see that in some ways, these genealogies are what we call a type of Christ. There's something that points us to the risen Savior that's going to come up. And it's kind of interesting, this idea of a type of Christ. We see that actually throughout the scriptures, that it's a very clear symbolic foreshadowing of what would happen with Jesus, even starting all the way in Genesis. So if you remember beginning in Genesis, we had this really a simple idea when Adam and Eve sinned and they were cast out of the garden. Remember, they found themselves naked, and so God covered them. And what he had to do, he had to kill an animal and take their skin. And now that would be a foreshadowing of what is to come, the great sacrifice that's laid out. And so we see this happening here. You say that the animal, the killing of that animal, was a type of Christ. In that way, this genealogy is a type of Christ because it's everyone skillfully pointing to the Savior, the Messiah, Yeshua. So let's go through some of these. We find quite interesting. So in this particular point, the writer, Ezra, he's making a clear point for David, and this will be very clear in more of the Eastern way of doing genealogy. And so he starts off by his firstborn was Amnon. Now, interesting enough, we know that Amnon doesn't actually take the throne. It's given to Solomon later on. And so he's really highlighting this simple idea that there are different dispensations. When he rules in Hebron, but it's until when he gets to Jerusalem, he's crowned in that way. He's anointed, but now he's crowned officially. And so when he gets into this place, what ends up happening is then Solomon begins to take the throne there. And so the writer is making a distinction. I guess if we don't understand the way they did it in the Eastern world, we wouldn't understand the logic that Ezra is laying forth here. Just to give you an idea of some names, remember some names are said in different ways. So in this one, in verse two, verse 3, Eglah is Michelle, is the daughter of Saul. And so they choose to use a different name, probably in relation to her folly or her sin. And we see actually in some of these, some sons are actually omitted from the narrative for whatever reason. And either because they died at young age, or could simply have been that they were inconsequential in that regard. I'll give you an example. Going back into chapter 2, this one we could see very easily. In 15 it says, David was the seventh. We know that's not true. Because Samuel, when he comes, and Jesse lays seven sons before Samuel, before Samuel says, that's it, there's no other one. And then, remember, he goes, I got another one, David, he's out in the field right now. So then it's clearly we know that there are actually eight sons of Jesse, but only seven are written here. And most likely, one of these sons either was really bad, and so just totally omitted from the genealogy, or they died really young, or they just were inconsequential. And so there's no need to mention them at all in that way. We have the same issue happening here at verse 8. And it says, Elishama, Eliada, and Eliphelet, 9. Well, we know from the text that there's actually 11 sons born to David during this time. And he seems to omit two of them here. Again, either they were so bad, they were not there, or they died early, or I think this is the worst of all these things. They were inconsequential. No need to talk about them. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit later on. But interesting enough, when we get there, Solomon is, these were born to him in Jerusalem, Shemaiah, Shobab, Nathan, and Solomon, 4 by Bathsheba, the daughter of Amiel. Bathsheba is obviously Bathsheba. So why is Solomon pointed last? He is the first son. In this regard. And then Nathan is kind of interesting. You could see the depth of David's repentance over the child that was lost to Bathsheba. So Solomon actually is the second son of Bathsheba. Remember, the first one died as a penalty of adultery. But Nathan, and it's interesting that he names him Nathan after who? The prophet Nathan, who came and rebuked him about what he had done. And this is a nod in many ways to David's repentance, in that he actually, the next son, the Solomon, then the next son, he names after the prophet who rendered probably the most grievous judgment on his whole ministry, which was the taking of his son, firstborn son, with Bathsheba. And if you think about that, what a great testimony in that regard, that David fully had surrendered to the will of God and the edict by the prophet Nathan. It would have been very easy to have despised Nathan, wouldn't it have been? He was the bearer of bad news. No one likes when people bear bad news. He was the bearer of bad news, but there was so much contriteness in David's heart that he actually names one of his sons after the prophet who gave him bad news. I think that's pretty cool. I think that speaks a lot of the heart of David, and probably in many ways also speaks of the restoration between the prophet and the king. in the sense that even though Nathan came and bam, rendered judgment, even in that regard, there seemed to have been, obviously, there was a good rapport between the two. And not that reconciliation needed to happen or anything, because David or Nathan is just doing his job as a prophet. But how great the boldness of the prophet to come and speak to the king, you know, in such a way that, I mean, this is like a rebuke and a half, you know what I mean? And how great that this idea is laid out. You'll notice also in this genealogy that there's, in verse 6, there's Elishama and then Eliphelet. And then again in verse 8, Elishama and Eliphelet. And so most likely that these two sons died at a very young age, and which was very customary during Eastern times, that when later sons were given to preserve their name and to preserve their heritage in some way, their sons down the line would be given the names of the son that had passed away. And so most likely they probably passed when they were young in that regard. And to honor their name, they would give them, you know, that name, which is really interesting because that's exactly what we did. You know, yesterday was Hannah's birthday. She turned 7 yesterday. You know, my little munchkin's crazy. She's growing up so fast. But you know that Hannah, you guys know the story, Hannah was named after my mom. And so my mom came last to help us with Emma. And then when my mom went back, was trying to go back to Uzbekistan, stopped off in Korea to get a health check. You know, one of their sponsors had supported her to do that. And sure enough, they found the cancer. And so within a year after diagnosis, my mom passed away. And so we just saw it was so fitting that we should name. And when we found out that our third girl was coming and we found out it was a girl, we just thought it was so fitting that we should name her after my mom and carry on, you know, that heritage and that legacy. And so, I mean, the funny part is I always, I mean, some of you guys knew who my mom was, and, you know, she was the most gentle, the most docile, you know, kind. Well, Hannah's kind, but, you know, Hannah's like the sassiest. She's almost like the opposite of my mom, which is a blessing too. And so it's funny, when we gave her the name, I remember praying for her at the hospital, and I was like, Lord, just make her just like my mom. And, you know, God has a sense of humor, and he did that, but he added some spice. You know, maybe Lisa was eating a lot of kimchi during that time. I don't know, but Hannah definitely has a lot of spice in that. And so we see how that tradition, even for us, you know, it still kind of carries on in that way. And that's probably what happened with Elishama and Eliphelet during this time. And so, you know, the genealogy continues to go on. And, you know, goes through Zedekiah and then Jeconiah and then so on and so forth. And then we'll get to another genealogy tomorrow. But let's go back to this and let's focus on, interesting enough, let's focus on something that's not written down here. And of those sons that are missing, particularly those two, the 11 of the 9 that's written, and the two, and then going back to chapter 2, the one son of Jesse, that's not written there. And I think it's important for us to recognize, and I think a good point to talk a little bit about living a life that matters. Can you imagine? I mean, again, either you just did so much evil that the Holy Spirit is not inspired by any means whatsoever to put your name down in the roll. I mean, how bad you have to be. Most likely, that's not the case. Most likely, they died young, and so they didn't fulfill their promise. Or, actually, probably even more likely than that, they actually were very inconsequential to the genealogy or to the writing of Israel or anything else. And like I said we get back to this. Can you imagine what it's like to live a life that's so inconsequential that the Holy Spirit doesn't even bother to write your name down? And this is really the challenge for us. I know I'm stretching it a little bit, but trust me, it's really hard to find a devotional for a genealogy. But this is what God is speaking to me about today in this regard. I mean, I've been praying a lot. I said, Lord, give me some nugget. And think about that for us. What kind of life are we living right now? Are we living just for ourselves? Are we really living for God? Are we really honoring God in our work and our family and these things? Or are we living inconsequential lives? You know, a lot of people, I know we pray every Tuesday. When we pray for Hong Kong, we pray for the Hong Kong students, a lot of them that are committing suicide. At the heart of that, you know, obviously it's fear and cowardice and all these things, but at the heart of this, I believe there's a lie and there's a temptation to believe that their life is inconsequential, that life is meaningless. I might as well just take my life. But in that same way, how many of us as Christians, we live inconsequential lives? That we're not really attempting anything for God. We're not even listening to Him and ask Him what He's doing or what His will is. That even as Christians, we're just so caught up in our own will, my way instead of His way in that regard. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to us this morning. Let Him utter into our hearts, listen, every single one of us, we have a purpose given by God. Every single one of us, it says, you know, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. You know, the beauty of that verse is the timing of it all. It's when they go into Babylonian captivity. And He says, even in the midst of captivity, He says, I know the plans that I have for you. Isn't that the first thing that we ask God when we're going through difficult times? God, where are you? Why am I in this mess? And Israel, in the point of their rejection, seemingly, circumstantially, God says, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. And every single one of us, because of Jesus Christ, we have a hope in Him. And so we ought not to live inconsequential lives. But we can easily do that when we live for ourselves instead of for Him. So let's close our eyes. Let's ask God to search us and try us, all the men that were at the men's retreat, or I'm sorry, that were here for Sunday, and the women, I guess, when Pastor Benjamin talked about Psalm 139, the closing of that, search me and try me, O God, and see if there be any hurtful thing within me, and lead me in an everlasting way. Let the eye of the Lord, let it really be a lens into our hearts. Are we living lives that matter for eternity? Or are we living just lives that matter on this earth? Remember, we're going to go through this weekend, right, on heaven, in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. And as we worship, let's just meditate on that.
Every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. You're worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Worthy of every we could ever see. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. You're worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one I could ever say. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me and hold me. There is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
See, I will build my life.
Let's pray. I mentioned yesterday that we're going to change the format a little bit of during this time, reflection time. And as we're going through the Lord's Prayer, you know, the whole idea of starting our prayer, hallowing His name. And so let's lift up His name. Let's thank God. Let's thank Jesus for giving us a future and a plan. Let's lift Him up and say, Lord, thank you for giving me purpose, God. Thank you for saving me, Lord. Thank you for rescuing me from the pit of hell and putting the purposes of God in my life. And Lord, and help me to live, God, every day according to your will and to your purposes. So let's hallow His name right now. Let's lift up the name of God. Let's praise His holy name for all the things that He's done in our life. Primarily, that He gives us purpose. that He gives us the joy, the real joy to live this life for Him. Well, let's hallow His name. Now let's just begin to pray for others. Let's intercede and let's pray for our community that's battling through cancer, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's ill but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for God to reveal Himself to them. Let's pray for our community that's battling non-cancer related illnesses. Let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our sister that's looking for a job. Let's pray for God's provision and open doors. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for China. Let's ask God to breathe His Spirit over this land. Let's pray for SP Beijing. Pray for Pastor Hyunsu, Chloe. Pray for their board, their leaders, and God will continue to protect them and use them. Let's pray for the Chung family, Matt and Nate's parents. Pray for Edie Clark, particularly her health, and Let's just lift up the churches all over this place. International churches, underground churches, three self churches. Let's pray that the gospel would be proclaimed powerfully. And let's lift up. Let's pray for our board. Huh? Let's ask the Holy Spirit to fill us and to use us, and that we would move in the wisdom of God and not our own wisdom. Let's pray for our families that God would protect as we put ourselves in the front lines. So let's just pray. Let's pray our fellowship ministries, and let's lift up our young adults, particularly the retreat that's coming up in a few weeks. Let's pray for Yahweh Eats and the Single Life Workshop that will be starting next year. Let's pray over our men's ministry. We just came back from an awesome camp. Let's pray that the messages and the things that God has spoken to us about the Lord would really have a really incredible effect. Just some incredible news I'll share on Sunday, but we took an offering for Pastor Benjamin. We just fed spontaneously, and it was amazing. We raised $116,000 in one offering during that time. And so I think last year's theme of generosity really paid off. And so really, really happy for Living Hope and for our guys to really step up. And so let's pray. Let's pray for the men's prayer, Pure Desire, men's fraternity. You know, our retreat is a great platform for these guys to get involved in other ministries. Let's pray that it would stick. Let's lift up our women's ministry. They also had an incredible retreat. Let's pray for Lift, the ladies in fellowship together, and also the discipleship class will be starting up soon. Let's pray that they would carry their momentum into as well. So let's lift up our fellowship ministries, and let's ask for God's hand. Let's pray for SP 2.0. Let's pray that God would provide a new building and resources. Let's continue to pray for the Vision Fund and pray that God would bring a benefactor. That's a prophetic word that we got. Also pray for third and sixth floor renovations. It started now. And let's pray that God would really provide and all the things would just go smoothly related to that. Let's lift up. Let's pray for house churches tonight. Blue Pool, Cimbria, Causeway Bay, EastEnders, House to House, Island, Lido, Lion Rock, New Conduit, Robin Hood, and TST. Let's pray for our leaders, that our people really connect with each other and just really grow in the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you, God. Thank you for the grace, God, that you give to us every day. Lord, thank you for your purposes and your plans, God, and your will for each one of our lives, God. Lord, you knew them from the beginning of time, God, and you've orchestrated our lives in such a way to bring us to this point right now, Lord, here in Hong Kong. I pray that the rest of these days that you've given to us, God, that we would live for you and not for ourselves, Lord. We thank you. Lord, watch over us, God. And help us, Lord, to give all the glory to your Son that he so deserves, God. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, God. Let's close in the Lord's Prayer. And our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. We'll see you guys tomorrow.